Our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hand of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious. Makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Insanity runs in my family. Practically gallops.
No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco Gold is.
This is Jake, the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life. Wow, man!
Fire it up, hold up.
Why don't you get a job, Spicoli?
What for?
You need money.
All I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Revolution Radio. And now it's time for that feral hippie herself, an infotartic, esoteric, eclectic mix of the adventures of that feral hippie, Miss Mona Radler.
What are you people? On dope?
That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
Make a move and the money gets it.
They've got here.
All right, Mona, it's all yours. Take it away.
I hear you, birdie. Yes, chirping. I love the birds. Welcome to freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Remember, we are listener-supported, so please do us that favor and help us out with a donate click, a donate click, a donate click. Today is the 28th day of May, 2021. Boy. The world is in major changes. And again, we're going to have a week coming up. You have till the 5th of June to send in something that could become a tagline, of how you feel about revolution.radio. And just /HTML. I wish I didn't have to look at this each and every time to bring it up. Because she's not always on the top of the list. Here we go. I'm just going to give it to you. Okay, so, revolution.radio, there you go, /contest.html. You might have to https://. Not period, because that dot should actually be a period. I don't know the name of the dot with the dot. I just don't. Read out the winners. Read out the winners. And claim that on Sunday, Studio A, a mad look at reality. That's our Thomas Becker, a mad painter. Okay, I know it is minutes over the time, but I just wanted to see what this says, because it's calling for court-ordered executions of researchers who use children for COVID medical experiments. Well, it should be adults too, but the babies deserve, because they don't have a voice. And we have to learn how to use ours a whole lot better.
You. If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays? For Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Yeah.
Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio, and learn what's really going down.
Lost a little honey on the lone highway. Left me for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Right, welcome back. It's just, I want everything to be, and it is getting exposed, but we still need to back and support those who are trying to bring out the reality of the facts behind the truth of that we don't want the wool pulled over our eyes anymore. We don't want to keep on the blinders. We don't want to hide back in that box and put the top back on, because it means the future. And for the level of destruction that I have witnessed and that I am seeing, I still have faith and hope and putting every effort out there that I possibly can to help make the awareness for the need of change. Yep. I don't know why it's not making a sound, because it's on. The seconds are ticking. So, Mike, where'd you go? Mike. There. Am I going to have to... Let's see if this works. Whoa. Because sometimes it's really weird that the sound has a design all its own on what is happening. None of what we want happening or what we are doing, just to, you know, have a stop and a go. Okay, there's the... Okay.
A year ago. And they're going to do it again.
I can't believe it. I really can't believe it.
But that's not all they're willing to do.
Oh.
In order to enslave the American people.
Okay, I'm here.
And to gain power, the Marxists who are running Biden, okay, they also plan to carry out kinetic warfare against the American people with more mass shooting false flag attacks. And on top of that, then an engineered financial collapse. So the three assaults that we are facing by these mass murderers, these lunatics, who are running the vaccine industry and the federal government and the, you know, the black ops, black hat, secret ops, I don't know, whatever you want to call them, the teams that are running around carrying all this out, they're going to hit us with biological weapons, false flag attacks to take away your guns, and then an economic collapse at the same time. Folks, it's all engineered. It's all designed to put us through hell to exterminate us, to carry out mass murder, to seize control, to disarm us, so they can then execute us. So when you wonder why I'm calling for executions after a court of law has rendered that decision, make no mistake, they are already calling for mass executions of you and me and all of us who are awake and aware and alive. The more we know, the more they want us dead. And they've already built a weapon and unleashed a weapon that they hope will kill billions of human beings, billions. This is how evil they are. They will kill billions if they can. And Fauci is right there lying and saying, oh, we didn't fund gain of research. Yes, you did, you liar, you evil demon, you anti-human creature from hell. May you be returned there as quickly as possible to carry out your sentence for eternity. The most important thing to understand here is that as they are being exposed for their crimes against humanity, they will desperately unleash even more serious crimes. So in other words, the more truth comes out, the more they will release more bioweapons. The more they're exposed, the more they'll try to run false flag, you know, gun attacks, mass shootings. As the truth comes out in Maricopa County about the election rigging, and as that truth spreads then to other states, maybe Pennsylvania, maybe Georgia, maybe Michigan, and the truth keeps coming out, they will run false flag mass shootings just to have martial law in place. They will carry out mass shootings with their shock troops, Black Lives Matter. And you notice they're defunding the police to get the police out of the way. They're going to roll out their left-wing shock troop police, which is Black Lives Matter and Antifa, while they appoint the new director of the ATF, who promises that he wants to criminalize all people who own AR-15s in America. So you will have no police, you have no speech, you will have no rights, you'll have no money, no assets, no self-defense, no right to exist. And then they'll force you to take their vaccines. They'll force you to take their digital dollar wallet system. They'll force you to abandon your place in the country and move into a UN-controlled city, a police state city. You'll have no freedoms, no choices, no health, no control, no rights, nothing. This is their vision for America. And there's only one thing that will stop this, and that is when these criminals, when they are executed by court order. That's the only way this stops. When their hearts stop beating and they are no longer the evil, treasonous criminal demons, when they are no longer carrying out crimes against America because a court has found them guilty and ordered their execution, and those court-ordered rifles are aimed at their hearts, and those rounds penetrate their chest cavities and make them stop functioning, and then their brains lose blood supply, and then they can no longer carry out evil on planet Earth. That's the only moment in which humanity will be safe. Do not call for mercy for these criminals, for they have no mercy against you. No mercy whatsoever. Call for them to be stopped in self-defense. This is global self-defense against mass murderers who make Hitler look like a Boy Scout. They make Stalin, they make Mussolini look like Boy Scouts. These are mass murderers and they must be stopped. And there's only one way to stop them, and that's with a court-ordered execution. I'm going to move on here, but just to sum all that up, the bottom line is I will do everything in my power to defend life and protect the innocent, including calling for the court-ordered executions of mass murderers who are taking lives away, who are killing innocent people. They themselves need to be stopped, but they must be stopped through a legal process, due process, so that the history books will accurately say this was society that decided to kill them. Society decided this, not one individual, not someone who was angry, not someone who's a lone vigilante or lone gunman or anything like that. It has to be society, just like society called for the execution of Joseph Mengele, hanged to death. And that was supposed to send a message, of course, you know, hey, don't do this again, everybody, especially doctors and scientists, because Joseph Mengele was one of the top doctors of his era, right? PhD, MD, researcher, you know, he's like the Fauci of the Hitler regime, right? Hanged to death. Why? Because society needed to send that message. That all of society agrees that this person must be executed, or these people. It was more than one person. It was a lot of people. And history repeats itself. We have now arrived at that time yet again, but let's call for due process so that these people can face their firing squads with no doubt about their guilt. All right, so all that was a half-hour introduction. I didn't realize I was going to go on so long, so... apologies for that, but as you can tell, I feel very, very passionate about protecting innocent life. And also, is it a time that somebody be held accountable for their crimes? Think about, we live in a society today where all these evil creatures and these lawbreakers and these swamp creatures, they get away with everything. They're never charged, never prosecuted, never even investigated. Isn't it time somebody actually was held responsible for their crimes against humanity? I think that day is coming. Now, this podcast, I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for your suggestions, because we have returned to the single full podcast format instead of the multi-part format that we tested for a couple of days earlier this week. We're going back to the single full format, with the suggestion of some of our listeners that made a very good suggestion, an excellent point, which is that we can simply put in the description of this podcast, we can put time codes of, you know, which section is about economics and which section is about vaccines and so on. So that's what we're going to do. And I'll be organizing everything into those sections. And then you can look at the description each day on Brighteon.com, and you can just see, hey, if you want to skip the intro and you want to just skip right to topic A or B or C, you can just jump to that time code in the video. So that's a brilliant solution. It's the best solution. So that's what we're going to do. So thank you for your feedback on all of that. And thank you for helping us test out what works best for you, because, you know, I want to get you this information in a way that works for you. Otherwise, what's the point, right? So thank you for your feedback. I also want to mention I have posted an interview with G. Edward Griffin. Actually, I posted it, I think, yesterday or the evening before. And he's got his Red Pill Expo coming up, I think, this weekend. Yeah, I think it's this weekend in South Dakota, if I'm not mistaken. You can find that at Red Pill Expo. Is it .org? .net? I don't know. Just search for Red Pill Expo with G. Edward Griffin. And he's got streaming tickets available, I think. I think he told me they were $20 or something like that. So if you can't be there in person, you can stream the event. A lot of great speakers there, really top speakers. I'm not going to be there, and I'm not speaking at the event, but I'm very happy that the event is taking place. And I encourage you to check that out and, you know, tune in. Be part of that. It's America history in the making. And then before we get into other topics here today, the Liberty section is coming up next. The sponsor today is the Satellite Phone Store. Thank you for supporting them. And I should probably say, for their own protection, the Satellite Phone Store does not necessarily endorse all of my comments here. I say some pretty strong things. I think I back them up. But Satellite Phone Store is not really political. They're just about survival and preparedness. And their satellite phones are really great survival and preparedness tools. And I own several. Since I don't trust the power grid, I don't trust the cell towers, I don't trust, you know, almost any technology. I want to be able to make a phone call in an emergency. I just point this thing at the sky, turn it on, and I can make calls. And it's just a monthly fee. The minutes roll over month after month, so you can save them up and use them in an emergency. So it's kind of like a cell phone plan, but it's a It's a satellite phone. You don't get unlimited minutes. You just get a certain number of minutes, because obviously satellite minutes are a lot more expensive than cell minutes, which are basically free now. But it's kind of like a cell phone plan. So check it out at SAT123.com. That's the satellite phone store. We appreciate their support. One comment I wanted to make here before we move on about the UFO report that's about to come out. We've kind of touched on this a couple of times. You've noticed that the U.S. Navy, you know, they've released these videos of these UFOs that are flying over the ocean. And you've had Senator Marco Rubio, I think, come out and say, oh, you know, they've got advanced technology. And there's a big report that's supposed to come out in a couple of weeks, I think, about what does the government know about UFOs. And there are analysts talking about this right now who are saying this is likely to be some big steaming bag of BS, this report. And I tend to agree with them. So number one, Marco Rubio should never be trusted on anything. Marco Rubio is a rhino. Now, you know, he's not as bad as the senator from Utah, you know, the Romneys of the world. He's not that bad. He's not an enemy of America, but he's a rhino, and he's being used to push this out there. And I kind of suspect that something's going to come out in this report that they're going to use to try to, you know, take away our freedom more. Like they're going to say something such as, oh, yeah, the report says that aliens have been here for 50 years, and they're going to take us over if we don't immediately give up all our AR-15s or something like that, you know, something crazy. Like, oh, give up your guns or the aliens will get you, you know, something crazy like that. I have a suspicion that's where this is going. And never forget that phrase, cosmic false flag, cosmic false flag. And I credit Greer for that phrase. That's where I first heard it. Cosmic false flag means they fake an alien invasion in order to enslave humanity. Now, I don't agree with Greer's analysis that he thinks all the aliens are going to be friendly for some reason. That doesn't make any sense. There may be very aggressive, warlike, non-Earth, you know, civilizations out there cruising around with weapons that are thousands of years or even millions of years more advanced than our own. Who knows? But there's no reason to think they're going to be super nice to us when humans are such a backward species. We're destroying a really good planet, by the way, just destroying the ecosystem and everything, nuking it, for example. Who nukes their own planet? I mean, just, you know, cosmically, human beings are the retards of the Milky Way. Nuking your own planet? What's wrong with you freaking hominids? But in any case, I think they're gonna fake a UFO invasion, and then they're gonna try to use it to take away all our liberties, you know, even more than they've done with the COVID pandemic. Remember, they got a whole series of these going. They can roll out false flags, they can roll out, you know, super Ebola, they can roll out fake alien invasion, holograms, they can roll out what? Oh, of course, the dollar collapse, the global reset. Who knows what else they can roll out? Like demon creatures coming out of portals in the ground or something. Or just all of a sudden in New York City, like Stargate opens up and creatures start pouring out. They're like lizard creatures with spears from planet Zorg. Would anything surprise us at this point? I mean, it's 2021. Would anything really be surprising? Seriously, if the Wall Street Journal had a front page. A giant Stargate opened up on Wall Street, and, you know, giant lizard creatures with spears started pouring out and taking over Wall Street. You'd be like, oh, and and what else you got? Because, you know, yesterday we heard about, you know, magnetic nanoparticles and vaccines controlling your brain from 5G cell towers. So what else is new? What else you got? That doesn't freak me out. Lizard creatures with spears. You're going to have to do better than that with your cosmic false flag. You could have at least made them, you know, transgender lizard creatures with spears. That would have been more amusing. transsexual glam lizard creatures with spears walking through a Stargate wearing rainbow flags that have been approved by the State Department. LGBT aliens. Makes you wonder how their species survived if they can't reproduce, doesn't it? We've come to Earth not for cattle mutilations, but for genitalia mutilations. Yes, we are the LGBT aliens. We have arrived. Take us to your leader. And then you march them over to Joe Biden, and they're like, no, seriously, take us to your leader. All right, I guess I better get into some actual news. So this is the Liberty section of today's podcast. Senator Cotton accuses Democrats of blackmail as these Democrats are threatening to pack the Supreme Court if the Supreme Court doesn't rule the way they want them to rule on this abortion case, this Mississippi law. This is called Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. The Supreme Court is considering, the pre-viability prohibitions on elective abortions, whether they're constitutional. So the Democrats are saying, well, if SCOTUS doesn't render the decision that we want, we're going to pack the court. What is that? Senator Cotton's right. These Democrats, they're all just terrorists. They just use the court to terrorize America. In Georgia, 30,000 fake ballots have been found in the audit so far. 30,000 fake ballots. This is also happening in Maricopa County and other states, by the way. I'm telling you, once the audit actually happens with paper ballots, this election is going to be reversed, because these states are going to decertify their electoral votes, and then you're going to have a big constitutional crisis. You're going to take Biden under 270 electoral votes, right? He's going to be under 270 at some point here as these states decertify. And then the question is going to be, well, didn't Trump win? Then isn't Trump the president? And then you're going to have, the two presidents scenario, and maybe the military's involved, and maybe the Supreme Court's involved. Should be interesting to see where this one goes. But it's clear the election was rigged, and this is why, Democrats are totally freaking out about the audits. I mean, if they have nothing to hide, why do they care about the audits? If they really won, why do they care? Wouldn't the audit just prove that they won? Why wouldn't they support the audit, right? If they're so sure that they won legitimately, then the audit would just confirm it and end any question. But no, they oppose the audits. Why do they oppose it? Well, obviously they cheated. All right, here's some good news on the Liberty front. The Texas Senate has passed HB 957, which allows you to buy rifle suppressors and pistol suppressors in Texas without.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the perfect triangle will blast through fake news lies. Champion the natural way and natural law. Unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government. Reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Please, come on, indeed. Hi, Karl Marx here. I am all seriousness today, my friends. There is this show you must not listen to. The ultimate remedy with this guy, LB. This guy has figured me out. I hear it on Tuesday, and he is telling the truth. I mean lies. Stay away from this guy. Where's my good hairbrush? Anybody seen Mama?
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist, featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
We now return to Revolution Radio's very own feral hippie,
Mona Radler.
Here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Remember, we are listener supported, so please do us that favor. Today is the 28th day of May 2021. Check out, let's see, does that have it here? Contest details. Gee, I could have just been looking there. That would have been easier. Well, I'm glad I found that out. Just in case you need to know, I'm telling you, oh my gosh. Where the truth never sleeps, dragging out the truth, taglines which have been linked to the station from its birth over 10 years ago. Have a great and catchy tagline in mind. Go to https://revolution.radio/contest.html for a chance to win a t-shirt embalmed with your tagline. Okay, must be original. No longer than 8 words. But you can use the Freedom Slips or Revolution Radio. Okay, email it to General Manager at a Mad Painter using this address. Okay. TheMadPainter13@yahoo.com. Contest is open till Friday, the 4th of June. And on the 6th of June, you will be told who the winner is. So that's cool. Yes, I think so. The chat. You're gonna take a minute? It's gonna take a minute. Okay. I don't know if anybody wants to do the rest of this, Mike Adams. I think it's a good time to say goodbye, Mike. At least for the today. I've put it in chat twice, so if you need to find it, then come to chat. Okay, I know. There we go. And because there was another one that I had hoped to get it in, because it's something that's really concerned me for a very, very, very long time, because I have been witnessing this happening for quite some time. Who just loves to have the information available if I could. So here we go, from True Stream Media. And then they came for the books.
Hold knowledge dear. Do you value information in this information age, or has the proliferation of it and everything else cheapened it all? Does it trouble you if this collective loses memory of its troubles, both recent and most remote? If we remain entertained, fed, and stuffed, and housed, and heated, and cooled, will that be enough? Does the thinking process depend upon a steady diet of useful knowledge? If so, must we eat our veggies, or is it enough to snack upon the sensations of the mind, dieting our noggins upon the delightful, but little upon the substantive? Ever wonder how it ends up if, just if, history were to wither up or reflect back a shallow and distorted mirror of approved, curated knowledge, comfortably conformative? It is time to pay attention. Pay attention before certain important things might just slip away, untraceable again. The books, use them now before they fade away. I almost did this video several months back because when all this pandemic stuff was happening, along with everything else going on, the library shut down. And it's something that we use pretty routinely for research. And it's been one of the only ways to get detailed information on certain subjects and to really dig in. And so it's been important, especially at several intervals, especially when we're working on our feature films, to do real research and really try to figure things out, and to go to our closest federal depository library, which happens to be on a university campus. But of course, when universities started closing down, so did the libraries. And I guess just with everything going on, I didn't think people would be super focused on that, because that's just one of many aspects that everyone's suddenly dealing with. Well, here we are now, basically 6 months into it, and the universities have started opening back up, but in a very limited, cautious way. A lot of the stuff is happening online. All right, that's what they're doing. And the libraries have opened back up, but with very limited hours and limited access. And it just so happens that they have cut off the library access to people who are not students, faculty, and staff, which I happen to not be. I've had access as alumni. But even though I'm not happy with that, I understand that there's a lot of things going on with the COVID response. I really don't agree with hardly any of it, but I get that that's what they're doing. However, there's a little bit more than that. I don't know what's going on everywhere. Maybe you live in a place where it's different, but here in Texas, basically most places are open as far as stores. You know, obviously grocery stores and most types of retail stores have been open for several months now. And while they make you wear a mask and everything, which I'm critical of, you know, you can physically go in. You can shop for goods. You can put them in your cart. You can touch them. You can put them back if you need to. And, you know, hopefully nobody's abusing that and doing weird, gross stuff. But the point is, people have been let back into their lives nearly everywhere, but not at the libraries.
What'd you need books for? I just want to study up on some things.
And it turns out that one of the reasons this is happening is because most of the major libraries attached to universities across the entire country and possibly across the world have entered into an agreement with something known as the Haiti Trust. It looks like Hathi Trust, but they say it's pronounced Haiti, much like the country. And it's a reference to an elephant with the idea that an elephant never forgets, and so that's information in books. And the Haiti Trust is a digital library, and they become pretty much the major repository for scanned books, research materials, etc. And I think the vast majority, if not 100% of their materials, have all been scanned by Google, which could prove to be important. But at any rate, at libraries like the ones I'm dealing with, whereas you used to be able to physically walk in, go to the shelves, or use their computer database, find the book. For years now, you could click a button and have that book be ready to pick up at the desk, waiting for you, assigned to you, waiting to check out with your library card, and you're on your way. They also, for many years, have had scanned books and documents, many of them from the Google sources, and you could just use those online. Pretty good deal. Point is, you had the chance to check them out. But now, many of the libraries, the one near me, is no longer allowing physical access to books. What they call the pick it up option, where you look up a book, decide you want it, click the button, have it waiting for you, is theoretically open, but only to students, faculty, and staff right now. Again, I understand. I don't agree, but I understand. Except that they now won't let you go physically into the library. You can't browse the stacks, which quite frankly has been very valuable many times. Have found a lot of stuff there that I wouldn't have found looking up. You can't do that. They've rolled it back to what they call the pick it up option, where you basically order the book and it's waiting for you at the desk, and to keep people physically out of the libraries, where there used to be, you know, considerable amount of people congregating. I don't know if a lot of them were really studying academically versus hanging out, but not the point. Now you can only pick the books up. Okay, fine. However, they now have an agreement because of the Hathi Trust that they may not lend any physical copies of books that the Haiti Trust has in their digital collection. Isn't that interesting?
What'd you need books for? I just want to study up on some things.
They now have an agreement through the Haiti Trust, and because of their participation in the Haiti Trust, which generally speaking has knitted together a network of primarily universities across the country using this, because they're allowing access to their digital collections, they are no longer allowing physical copies of books to be lent out to the library. It isn't that my local university library themselves have decided it's not a good idea to lend out physical books, although they're delivering mail and packages and boxes on a daily basis, and they've told the country that this thing won't be spread that way, and it's fine to get your mail and your packages, but they've somehow decided books are an issue. Yeah, books, always spreading the plague. Books, always an epidemic, right? But now they may not lend out physical copies of books that have been scanned by this Haiti Trust digital library collection. And that definitely gives me pause. Now, before I go any further, I would say there's a lot of good things about the Haiti Digital Library. In theory, they're trying to scan endless physical libraries, some of which hasn't been touched by people in years and years and years, And I know because I've checked out books that have not been read by anyone in 50 or 80 years in some cases. It's great that they are scanning those and making them available to read in full. They have the OCR thing on, so you could search for words, you could find your key terms, and you could go to immediately where that is in the text. And that's all great. That is revolutionary and could be very useful to the general education and enlightenment of the population, if you will. However, they're not making these books available to the general public, even though probably about a third of their collection is completely public domain, books that are so old, no one could even possibly have a claim against them, and other books that, because they're for academic research, probably really wouldn't be subject to any copyright claims, and it's all in theory anyway. Nonetheless, this Haiti Trust is not, as far as I can understand from reading it and looking at their agreements, not open to the general public. It's open only to members of these various universities who have to have credentials and IDs, right? So I like the fact that they have these digital scans available, and I got access to it. I've already found a lot of interesting stuff. It is of value in of itself. But the fact that their agreement is preventing physical checkouts of books does give me great pause for alarm. And I had that feeling creep up in my stomach. I was really uncomfortable and just kind of perplexed as to why they were doing it. I had a feeling of foreboding, knowing that actually there's been a lot of warnings about this. And a lot of people seem to know that this day was coming, and here it seems to be. I don't know. I'm just telling you, I got creeped out. And I know, on the one hand, it looks good that this collection has millions and millions of books, and you can download it and search it and all that stuff. I get that that's useful. But on the other hand, it really feels like they're restricting information. On its surface, I can't understand any reason why a digital collection should feel itself jealous or in competition with physical checkouts of books, which, quite frankly, I don't think are all that plentiful these days anyway. But I looked into it a little bit, and since all this COVID stuff has gone through, since universities and libraries have been generally closed for the last 6 months or so, the Haiti Trust Digital Library and hundreds of universities have all signed on to what they're calling an emergency temporary access service agreement. And this went through August 6, 2020, or at least it was updated then. And they're saying that this emergency temporary access agreement is due to the unexpected disruption from this pandemic and the fact that they're not letting people into libraries with books of all things, but you go to grocery stores, you go to retail stores, you go out in public, but with a mask. You know, you can't just go into a library with a mask. The books are tainted just as it is. So since this is an unprecedented emergency of books, they have made it allowable for all these universities to have their students, staff, and faculty log in and search these with the proviso that they may not check out any physical books to any students, faculty, or staff.
What'd you need books for?
I just want to study up on some things.
Why? Well, supposedly they've interpreted it that somehow protects them on copyright because they have copyrighted materials amongst their materials and their collection, and because they could potentially be sued by someone who says that's not all right. They've made what I find to be very strange an agreement with these universities that is a one for one. If there's a title and that library has one copy of it, one student, faculty, or staff from their domain may log in and use that book at a time. And if another student has a report on the same book or something like that, they have to wait in line to get access to the book until the other person's done using it, and they're limited to an hour, so on and so forth. It's a one-to-one copy on the member library shelf, one individual access to the digital copy, and if there's two copies on the shelf, then two users from that university can use it at a time. Lovely concept, since obviously One of the promises of this digital world is that information is mirrored. It's copied an infinite number of times. You don't even have to run a copy through a copy machine. You don't have to have someone sit there and write it out. There's no cost involved. These files, once they're up there, can be distributed almost an infinite number of time, only with respect to the servers, right? So why are they limiting the number of copies that could be accessed to the physical books? I find it really strange, and they're saying that it has something to do with protecting their copyright. And so lending a physical copy of a book from a library that was set up to give the public access to books and to allow interested parties to come in and peruse materials under some basic general, you know, guidelines has been suspended. Pretty incredible that this has been a priority at this time with everything else going on in this supposed pandemic. You can get packages, you can get mail, not a problem, but getting a physical book, apparently that's a showstopper. And it turns out this is all the way that the Haiti Trust Agreement has set it up. They say these services are at their sole discretion. It's based on a fair use analysis and implementation of their understanding of the access to copyright law. And they say they will evaluate each university's library's ability to basically work within their system. So again, they're saying this is based on their system to protect them under copyright law, but they're actually preventing individual physical libraries from lending out the books they've collected, in some cases over more than a century, to make available to the public for the general opportunity to educate and inform people, help them with research. And I really wonder if that's not a violation of copyright to prevent a properly acquired book, either purchased or acquired, under the copyright of a book that's published and distributed in such a way to prevent that from being lended out at a library. Very weird, but of course, these individual libraries have agreed to it. And it gives me concern for several reasons, you know. First of all, because it kind of goes against public interest. And second of all, it just seems unnecessary and therefore a little bit suspicious, because it feels like someone trying to have a monopoly over information. You know, it's one thing to scan a bunch of books and say, now here they are available. And it's one thing to treat some books that are still under copyright, you know, in a reasonable manner, but a lot of the other books in the public domain. So why aren't they just accessible? And why are they preventing libraries from lending out physical copies of books, including ones that are in the public domain and have been for a long time? They're preventing those from being lended out. And, you know, it's eerily familiar to a lot of the warnings, you know. It brings up thoughts of Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451, of the real-life book burnings that have taken place. It brings to mind, you know, the shameful, tragic, deliberate event. Oh, I'm sorry, it's supposedly accidental, of the burning of Library of Alexandria. Mm-hmm.
There's more information available today and more advanced technology to preserve it, though we can't know for sure that our digital archives will be more resistant to destruction than Alexandria's ink and paper scrolls.
The biggest is in Geneva. That's a nice place to visit.
Yeah.
I guess that's where all the books are now.
Yeah, well, thank you.
And even if our reservoirs of knowledge are physically secure, they will still have to resist the more insidious forces that tore the library apart. Fear of knowledge and the arrogant belief that the past is obsolete.
And it calls to mind the movie Rollerball, which I'm not sure if a lot of people have seen. It's got James Caan, some other well-known people. And on the surface, it's a movie about sports, a very violent rollerball sports. And James Caan, the lead character, is the best player in this league. It's meant to entertain and basically pacify the public. But the thing is, James Caan begins to get interested in how the society works. So he begins to seek information and attempt to do research. So, of course, he goes to his local library.
Do you know how many books were published in this country once upon a time when there was paper and power and presses that worked?
And What does he find in this movie Rollerball about sports, about the library? Well, he finds that they have stubs of information.
There must be some mistake. The books you've ordered are classified and have been transcribed and summarized.
Well, who summarized
them? I suppose the computer summarized them.
And he asks a couple questions along his line of inquiry and obviously isn't satisfied because the librarian there, so-called, is not aware of this information, can't give him any additional information.
You could go to the computer center where the real librarians transcribe the books, but we have all the edited versions in our catalog. Anything I think you'd want.
Well, let's see then. This is not a library, and you're really not a librarian.
I'm only a clerk, that's
right. A little
bit
like Wikipedia or something, right? A good place maybe to start with a general inquiry, but in of itself, not really thorough enough to say you know something, to say you understand why.
What'd you need books for?
I just want to study up on some things.
Well, let's see then. So this is not really a library, and you're really not a librarian, are you?
A librarian? No. No, I'm just a B character placed here to illustrate how vapid a dystopic society becomes when information is systematically censored and withheld from the people.
And it turns out that all the books have been centralized, gathered, and destroyed after they were digitized into a computer.
Ask anything. You found it for you. Section and lock. Won't choose you.
And he keeps asking questions and goes to the place where the computer is centrally located that has the books stored in its system.
Not many people come to see us here, no. We're not easy to talk to, Zero and I.
And he finds out that, lo and behold, this computer has apparently accidentally lost the entire 13th century of digitized information.
But we've lost those computers with all of the 13th century.
No big loss, says the scientist of the computer, because, you know, it was just Dante and some other obscure things.
Distracting and annoying.
Well, that in itself would be a pretty big loss. But what's worse, when he tries to ask questions about what he's inquiring about, how decisions are made in his society, the computer, which talks, is extremely vague.
Everything we ask is becoming so complicated now.
And basically is either unwilling or unable to provide him with the information he seeks.
Sierra, you heard the question. Answer him.
Negative.
You don't have to give him a full political briefing. Answer.
Negative.
It's become so ambiguous. Nothing.
The books are not available.
Of God plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
That's right.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back! You can torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us!
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Oh, goodness. I just don't know if I even want to think about that. That's just sad. Too much stuff coming down and round upon us. Just too dang much.
Anywhere they've been destroyed, and some of the information's been destroyed.
What about the books?
Books, oh no, they're all changed, all transcribed, all information's here. We've Zero, of course. He's the central brain, the world's brain.
You know, this is creepy stuff, all right? And the warning signs have been all around us in culture that information is power. I think Francis Bacon said that. Information, therefore, is scattered and has to be sought out. But again, libraries, collections of information, written and otherwise, have been gathered publicly so that someone who wants to know at least has some opportunity to find out.
A memory pool, you see. He's supposed to tell us where things are and what they might possibly mean.
But in certain dystopic futures, and apparently in our own actual reality, you can't just go get that physical book.
Tell me, how does that qualify as knowledge?
Sorry, that's all I've got.
A scripted response is just floating around, bouncing off my skull in the empty cavity where my critical thinking skills should have been.
What'd you need books for?
I just want to study up on some things.
So I know some people are saying, well, what's wrong with the Haiti Trust? They've done a pretty good job. They've got millions of stuff. You can get in there. Well, I can because I have university access, but a lot of other people can't because they don't have university access. So they're locked out of that, first of all. And second of all, we can hope that these are faithful scans, but there might be reason to compare it to the physical book. And quite frankly, I personally like holding a physical book. I can't really stand to read information for long periods of time off of a computer screen. So I will, for better or for worse, not be very likely to sit and read, say, a whole book online, even if it's freely before me, even if it's in the public domain in a nice searchable PDF. I will definitely search for some information. I might find some stuff that helps me and is useful, but it's not really the place I want to sit and read. I really treasure physical books for that. And I hope a lot of other people do. Maybe they don't. I don't know. Frankly, I think people have been neglecting their time at the library for generations now. But I'm not here to scold anyone. I'm just saying you might want to pay attention to what's happening here.
Do you know how many books were published in this country once upon a time when there was paper and power and presses that worked? And
a project that is acting as if it is freeing information and making it widely available to people is now actively restricting information at major public universities, I would say both public and private universities, who are part of this Haiti Trust. And probably their intentions are good. Hopefully. Let's hope so. But all their scanned material comes from Google, the very company that has been repeatedly accused of manipulating search results, hiding sensitive information, hiding politically divisive information, using algorithms that help to spread false information, manipulating search results, burying information. They've investigated it. They've looked into it. There's lots of angles to it. I'm not focusing on just one aspect of it. But, you know, let's just say we're only talking about elections. You know, Google's algorithm has been shown to be able to sway such elections.
A senior research psychologist named Dr. Robert Epstein of the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology. He was a former editor-in-chief of Psychology Today, and he came out and said how Google could rig the election, because they have the ability to drive millions of votes to a candidate and no one would know, and it has to do with search engine bias, how Google's algorithm serves up the search results, because how Google ranks its search results determine what people are going to see first, which is pretty basic.
And quite frankly, if you type in some politically sensitive search terms, buzz terms, Melissa demonstrated this before in another video, and you go to Google, you get one set of results. But if you go to, say, DuckDuckGo, which I've gotten more in the habit of using, you get totally different results. Pretty weird.
And let's type in Hillary Clinton. So on DuckDuckGo, when you type in Hillary Clinton, the third thing that you get is indictment. The fourth thing that you get is email scandal. You also get concession speech. Okay? So that's what you get on DuckDuckGo. Now let's try it on Yahoo. Same thing, pretty much. Indictment, email scandal, same thing, concession speech. You also get illness. Well, let's try Hillary Clinton on Google. Okay. Right away, you can see a huge difference here. There is absolutely nothing that comes up in these search results that suggests anything potentially negative or that could be viewed as in a negative light about Hillary Clinton. Okay, so if I go to DuckDuckGo and I type in hate speech, I get First Amendment laws, hate speech versus free speech, examples, meaning, legal definition. Now let's try Google. Okay. As you can see, there's a difference here right away. Hate speech is illegal, and hate speech on college campuses, which is not something I got in any other search. So in DuckDuckGo, I get anti-vaxxers, anti-vaxxer definition, movement, meaning, memes, ideology. That's pretty basic, right? Check out what you get on Google. Okay, so right away we have anti-vaxxers on the magic school bus. Let's check that one out. So that is college humor making a joke about the stupidity of anti-vaccine parents.
Pretty weird. Anyway, we can hope everyone here has good intentions. I'm not saying that the Haiti Trust doesn't have good intentions. I think it's cool that they have a digital library, but their behavior already at this point in time of locking down and restricting that information and making the key part of their agreement that universities not be allowed to lend out their physical collections should be a little bit disturbing to you. I really think so. And it's worth pointing out that Google Books, being such an important partner of the Haiti Trust, has some serious scanning and metadata issues. And this is criticism that dates back to 2009 and 2010, but the problem is still rolling forward, and I'm not really sure it's been corrected. A scholar named Jeffrey Nunberg conducted a study with 400 randomly selected Google Books and found an error rate of 36% in the metadata errors, attributing the wrong year, the wrong century, the wrong subject, the wrong keywords. Jeffrey Nunberg noticed that a search for books published before 1950 and containing the word internet turned up an unlikely 527 times. Woody Allen is mentioned in 325 books before he was born, 182 for Charles Dickens before his birth, incorrect classifications, Moby Dick being listed as a computer book, Mae West, the silent film actress, her biography listed under religion, conflicting classifications, 10 different editions of Whitman's Leaves of Grass, classified both as fiction and nonfiction and all kinds of other subcategories. And then there's all the misspelled titles, authors, and publishers, stuff like Moby Dick and The White Wall, just for example. The overall error rate of 36.75% found in the study suggests Google Books metadata has a high rate of error. It doesn't distinguish between major and minor errors, but the point is, all of it affects findability. And if you can't find it, it's not that much different from a complete book being lost in the algorithm like some kind of politically incorrect website. What happens when someone doesn't want you to find that information? And what happens when it's just a mistake, but it's still unfindable? Salon.com interviewed Jeffrey Nunberg and discussed some of the serious problems with the bibliographic information attached to many of the digital texts in Google Books. Quote, Google Books was conceived of in two ways. The first as a new library. I call it the last library, an aggregate of all the libraries in the world. If this is really the last library, as I put it, and no one is going to go back and do all this scanning again, which I think we can all agree is probably the case, then it's really important that it be done right, and it's going to cost a lot of money to do it. Jeffrey Nunberg stated, then there are problems with the scanning itself. I was researching the history of the word CAD and got a result in the Transactions of the Philological Society from the late 19th century challenging the OED definition. But I can't read the first four pages of it because all four pages are bunched together and then there's someone's thumb in the image. Now, no one's going to go back and rescan those pages. It would cost more than scanning the whole shelf. So that's it. As far as the digital collection is concerned, those pages are lost. I could find them by going to the Bodleian Library in Oxford, England, and ask them to pull it out of whatever deep storage they have it in, but realistically, I'm not going to do that. It's too difficult to get to. He's underscoring the problem that any mistakes that are happening in the Google Book scans and the Haiti Trust scans, their giant collections, is pretty much irreversible. Basically, you're talking about corrupted knowledge, maybe a small percentage, but you never know what's going to make a difference. You just don't know. Again, Google has been in question. They are what they are, but quite frankly, they already have way too much power, and no one entity, no business, no government agency, no digital collection should be able to concentrate information or power or access all to itself, you know. And at a certain point, it's scary. And Google's been past the creepy line, well, for many years now. And I'm not going to get into that whole issue, but in many ways, they're involved in what I'm starting to see as kind of a monopolizing of information. Now, Jeffrey Nunberg wrote his own article about Google's book search and called it a disaster for scholars. He said, Google's book search is clearly on track to become the world's largest digital library, no less important, and it is almost certain to be the last one. Google's five-year head start and relationships with libraries and publishers give it an effective monopoly. No competitor will be able to come after it on the same scale, nor is technology going to lower the cost of entry. Scanning will always be an expensive, labor-intensive project. Of course, 50 or 100 years from now, control of the collection may pass from Google to someone else, Elsevier, UNESCO, Walmart. But it's safe to assume that the digitized books that scholars will be working with then will be the very same ones that are sitting on Google's servers today, augmented by the millions of titles published in the interim. And what assurances do we have that Google will do this right? Now, overall, Jeffrey Nunberg found that the metadata errors based on incorrect scan dates makes research using the Google Books Project database difficult, and Google has shown only limited interest in cleaning up the errors. So what happens if the research can't happen the way it's supposed to? It's not going to be pretty, all right? Their agreements with universities, besides not lending the physical books, which apparently seems to be the main proviso of their agreement, and the universities being afraid to be cut off are strictly enforcing it and making sure that they follow that to the T. Well, besides that, you know, the access of individual universities to their giant digital book database isn't just in good faith because some places are physically restricted right now and there's an emergency situation going on. So information, because it's contagious, has to be locked down. You know, they're basing the participation of these universities on how well they can accurately identify students, faculty, and staff who are logging in and using this information. Okay, maybe in some ways that's just basic, and that's the way it is these days with an authorization and a login, and they got to make sure the wrong people don't get in because the copyright, someone's going to sue them for letting someone read a book. Great. You know, I've gone through this thing. I found some interesting material and I was able to look at it and everything. But when you do it, it logs a unique number tied to your ID number at that university. And they know exactly who's looking at that information. And if it were to be distributed online, if someone else were to read it and that information became contagious, they would know exactly what the source of that unauthorized distribution was. Okay. All right. Maybe there's some good reasons for doing that. Well, you should probably think about that. And libraries before this point have been known, you know, to keep databases of what their members have checked out on their library cards. I remember being told back in grade school, they keep a list of everything you read. So if you read the most controversial stuff, they're going to know and you'll be on a list for life. I don't know. Maybe it's true. But at the same time, most libraries I've been at, you can go into during their hours and you can go to the shelves. You can get a book. You can go to a table. You can find a quiet corner and you can read it. You can put it back on the shelf and leave and nobody has to know what you read. Why should they? It's reading. It just basically benefits you and society generally. And there's no reason really to restrict it. Yeah, authors who've worked hard on their books should have a fair opportunity to get paid for it. But I really think they've twisted that copyright law as a way of restricting our access to that information. And yes, it would be reasonable, I suppose, that if I wanted to take that book out of the library with me, that it makes sense that the library would, you know, scan my library card and make note that I am the one who checked out the book, because after all, I'm on the hook for it. And if it's lost or damaged or stolen, then I'll be the one that has to pay for it. All right, it makes sense, but that's not really what they're doing here. Again, Haiti Trust, who's putting all these provisos on university access and the individuals, if they're lucky enough to be part of that university at this time, they're taking information that was scanned for free by Google in total without paying the respective copyright authors for their books individually. They've just scanned them whole, put them in their database, and now they want to be in a position to track which individuals and which institutions are accessing that information and tracking where it spreads and blocking and gatekeeping access to that information. Of course, these are strange times and it's an emergency and we have to do everything we can. And second to COVID only, we just really would hate to see information spread. So beware, everyone. But I will draw your attention to the clip in Zardoz where Sean Connery's character, a warrior who knows little about his society, suddenly finds himself in an abandoned library and discovers a little book called Wizard of Oz that clues him in on some of the secrets of power and the way in which power has veiled itself.
Don't you remember the man in the library said, "It was I who led you to the Wizard of Oz book. It was I bred you. I led you.
And I have looked into the face of the force that put the idea in your mind. You are bred and led yourself."
And I think it would be well if everyone gave some thought to the signs and omens that there's an attempt to restrict information. Because, quite frankly, we're supposed to be putting more and more and more of our trust and power and authority in these digital systems, these social media platforms, and they've already showed us how little regard they have for free speech. How many things really are dangerous to say in contrast with the danger of not being able to say those things? Pretty short list, people. So why are they really doing it?
Google and these other major tech corporations are now entering into the arena of becoming arbiters of truth, arbiters of what is going to be allowed to be talked about on their platforms and what isn't.
Now, there is a quote from Sergey Brin from the beginning of Google, co-founder of Google, back at the start of their secret books project, where he said, quote, "We just feel this is part of our core mission. There's fantastic information in books. Often when I do a search, what's in a book is miles ahead of what I find on a website," end quote. Now, I agree completely with the sentiment of that quote, and it's all the more reason that making physical books inaccessible is really upsetting and really off-putting, even if this proves to be temporary, although we don't really know technically that this will be temporary. This might just be the beginning of the phase when you can't access physical books in a library anymore. Hopefully not. Hopefully that's going to swing back the other way. But right now, they are restricting access to the physical collections. Why are they restricting information and agreeing to suspend the physical checking out of books? Since when did that make someone sick? Or contagious. Something smells rotten in the state of Denmark. And I guess I'm going to leave it at that for now. Thanks for listening. We have more stuff on the way. This is just kind of a quick rant.
Although that actually did happen. Obviously, it's symbolic. It works on both levels. I don't want to tell you too much. Don't want to spoil the film. But I'll just say Icarus. Okay. If you know what I mean, great. If you don't, it doesn't matter. But you should probably read more.
What do you need books for?
Tell me, how does that qualify as...
Yep, we're just being lied to, we're being stolen from and manipulated to believe false facts, and then when Armageddon or something else shows up, because of the repercussions, they're gonna they'll give them more interest to take more away than what they've had permission in the first place to take. I mean, just serious. Yeah. Sometimes it's like you just want to take a nap. Because there's just so much going on that isn't in our favor at all. That really sucks. It's not in our favor. And that we gotta become aware of it more and more and more. What is happening? Just like no ingredients list on some of these jabs. Yeah, you can't know what's in there. No. Why would you want to think that we should allow you to know the ingredients of this definitely you need it jab of poison? Yep, we've got to wake up to the idea of standing up for ourselves and not letting these conditions keep going on and on and on. Yep. I mean, you might not believe in the concentration camps, but I believe that education is a concentration camp. But to kill the people because they just don't like them, there's all kinds of atrocities that governments have played on the people, especially the ones with the knowledge. What about those doctors that got killed? Because they were trying to stay away from the pharmaceutical conditions of medicine and do the lifetime medicine, the homeopathic and the organic and, you know, herbals, things like that. Yeah, it's just, I wish us all better. I want to see a bunch of miracles happen over the weekend. Just so everybody can find a smile and some warm fuzzies and make and have life just be better. Just be releasing any more fear, any more intolerances, any more things that are just stopping us from being the true us that we are. Yep, I send blessings to everybody and thank yous for being a part of this station for these 10 or so years. I really do appreciate y'all. I appreciate the people here at the station. And I want to say have a good weekend.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Be evasive. But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically